Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. We invite you to check that out. Look at these radio programs. They're there in the MP3 files. We also have a host of Bible videos on various subjects. We cordially invite you to take a look at them and download them and examine them at your own leisure time. We also, at the end of this broadcast, will give you the regular meeting times of our worship period and Bible study periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all these services. You'll always be warmly received. We are studying the deity and the humanity of Christ. Last week, we discussed the claims of the Apostle John. Today, we're going to begin to start to look at the claims of the Apostle Paul. The testimony of the Apostle Paul to Christ marks are another strong affirmation of the deity of Jesus Christ. We want to look at some of the more emphatic statements that point to the deity of Christ. We cannot quote and examine them all, but we'll build a very strong case and make a strong statement for the affirmation of the Apostle Paul. I will also include the book of Hebrews in this particular part because, for my study, I believe he is the author of that book too. In the book of Romans, Jesus is declared to be the Son of God with power in Romans chapter 1 and verse 3 and 4. Paul offered thanks to God through Jesus Christ. We read that in chapter 1 and verse number 8. Jesus Christ will be man's judge and is able to judge the secrets of the hearts of men. That statement is made in Romans 2 and verse 16. The redemption that men seek is in Christ, Romans 3, verse 24. His blood is a propitiation for our sins, the covering and atonement in chapter 3 and verse 25. We also read that in chapter 5, verse 10 and 11. Man has peace with God through Jesus Christ, through his faith in Romans 5, verse 1. He is over all and blessed of all, and God blessed forever, chapter 9 and verse 5. Three things brought out in this passage. One, that he is called God. Two, that he is supreme over all and blessed forever. Can you have any questions that doubt the deity of Christ by the statements made by Paul? Then we want to look at the book of Corinthians. The deity of Christ is also evident in the book of 1 Corinthians, where the common phrase in the Old Testament is, the day of the Lord is applied to Christ. It is applied in chapter 1 in verse 8. It is applied in chapter 5 in verse 5. It is also applied in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse number 15. We also points to the judgment of Christ in the final day. He is called the Lord of glory in chapter 2 and verse 8. He is described as a judge who knows the thoughts and intents of man's heart, which only God can know, in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 5. The preexistence is asserted by the statement that he was with Israel during the wilderness wandering in the baptism of Moses in chapter 10 and verse 4. He is in the image of God, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. God works in Christ to reconcile the world to himself in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19. He describes the incarnation. He became poor for our sakes in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. Paul tried to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, 2 Corinthians 10 and verse number 5. Closing the book, he joined Christ with the Father and with the Holy Spirit in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all three divine beings, all three give reference by the Apostle Paul. Then we look at the book of Galatians. Paul begins this epistle stating that his apostleship was not of man, neither was he taught it by man, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 1, verse 1, and verse 12. He implied that Jesus was not merely a man. Jesus joined the Father in sending grace and peace to the Galatian churches in chapter 1 and verse 3. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, who was born of woman and made under the law, Galatians 4 and verse 4. It tells us that the law was to lead one to Christ, according to Galatians 3, 24 and 25. We also see in the book of Ephesians, Jesus is placed above every power that is created in Ephesians 1, 19 through 21. All spiritual blessings are through Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1 and verse number 3. God created all things by Him and through Him, according to Ephesians 3 and verse 9. He is the one Lord of Ephesians 4 and verse 5. By Him, the middle wall of separation was broken down by Him by His death upon the cross in chapter 2, verse 14 through 16. We have redemption through His blood, according to Ephesians 1 and verse 7. We also see in Ephesians chapter 2, that He destroyed the enmity between the sinner and Christ by the cross in verses 14 through 16. So again, in the books of Romans, in the books of 1st and 2nd Corinthians, in the book of Ephesians, we see evidence of Paul giving evidence of the deity of Christ. It continues in the Philippian letter. Many texts could be cited from this epistle. The classic one is in Philippians 2, verse 5 through 8. Let this be my mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus our Lord, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross, Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8. This passage has caused many to begin to depart from the truth concerning the deity of Christ. Some rendered this version in verse 8 that he emptied himself. Others, he humbled himself. Does this mean he was stripped of his deity when he became a man? If so, just answer one question. How could he forgive sin? Since God's the only one that can do that, and he did it to the thief on the cross in Matthew 9 and verse number 6. And by anyway, how can one stop being God if you're God? The word God means eternal. It means an eternal being. It means without end, without beginning, without end. If you're God, how do you cease being God? If you're eternal, how do you quit being eternal? In all of these books, Paul emphasizes the eternal nature and the deity of Jesus Christ. We can see it continued in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. In these two epistles, Paul, Jesus is Lord, coming in judgment to redeem his saints in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 10, in chapter 2, verse 19, in chapter 3 and verse 13, in chapter 4, verse 6, and in verses 13 through 18 of the fourth chapter. He also gives evidence of his judgment in chapter 5 and verse 2. The Father and Jesus have providentially directed Paul's life according to his words in 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 8. In the second letter, he will take fire on the disobedient and those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 7 through 9. Sounds like more than a man to me. Sounds like he was also the deity and the Son of God, and that he had power, he had authority, and he was delegated to him by his Father. And then we see the book of Timothy. Jesus is described in 1 and 2 Timothy as the one mediator who represents both God and man in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5. God manifested in the flesh, according to 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. Promise of life in Christ, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1. Knows he will receive the crown from the righteous judge, 2 Timothy 4, verse 6 through 8. Again, these are all references that Jesus as a Christ is also God. Titus. Paul describes Jesus as the great God of our Savior, Jesus Christ, chapter 2 and verse 13. We are saved by his mercy, 2 Timothy 3, verse 4 and 5. And so again, Titus and Timothy confirm what the other epistles that Paul wrote, that Jesus is indeed the Son of God. Last, let's look at the work of Hebrews. The revelation of Christ is distinguished from the revelation of the Old Testament, former given by the prophets, the latter by God's Son, according to Hebrews 1, verse 1 and 2. If Jesus only gained his power to do miracles by the Holy Spirit, it reduces him to no one greater than the prophets of old and the apostles of the New Testament. The Son is heir of all things. He is creator of all things. He's the brightness of God's glory, the express image of his person, the sustainer of the creation, the one who purged our sins, and the one that presently is at the right hand of God on the spiritual throne of David, chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. He's superior to angels, chapter 1, verse 4, being declared to be the Son of God in verse 5. And he is called God and rules forever in chapter 1 and verse 8. He not only laid the foundation of the foundations of the earth, but also outlasts the heavens and the earth, according to verse 10 and 11 of chapter 1. He is immutable, according to Hebrews 1 and verse number 12. The superiority of the Christian's revelation is manifested in that it was given by the Son and not by mere angels, chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. The Son, a divine being, became man, Hebrews 2, 6 through 18. Jesus is superior to Moses, who served as a servant in God's house, chapter 3, verse 2 through 5. Jesus served as a son over his own house, chapter 3, verse 6. He is the living word of God, discerning and seeing all things, Hebrews 4, verse 12 and 13. Jesus is a priest after the order of Melchizedek, chapter 5, verse 6. He is a priest type, the type of Messiah, who is both priest and king. The divine order purposely omitted the reference to Malachi's mother and father to make his descendants point to him who served as an everlasting priesthood. That's Christ. Chapter 7, verse 4, verse 16, verse 17, and verse 24. We also see that Jesus' sacrifice is superior to that of bloods of bulls and goats. Chapter 9, verse 14, chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12, verse 2. And like God, Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever. 13, verse number 8. Many more citations could be given. We did not even mention the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, James, Peter, and Jude. We could multiply all these statements many times over. The evidence of these two writers and apostles, John and Paul, did not believe Jesus was just another man among men. They believed he was more. He was also the Son of God. He was also the Messiah promised by Old Testament prophets. And he was the Redeemer of all men and the one that we are purged by his blood. And we have redemption through his blood and through his sacrifice. All these give evidence that Jesus was and is the Son of God. Testimony that cannot be denied and cannot be overlooked. Again, the Apostle Paul affirms Jesus Christ is, was, and always will be the Son of God.